All right, I think it's 7 o'clock. That means it's time for us to get started this evening. Welcome, Facebook family and sermon audio friends and Liberty Baptist Church. It's good to come to the throne of God with you. You all stand up. We're going to start with the first song, and it's going to be His Name is Wonderful. It's part of the scriptures we're looking at tonight. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. He's Jesus, my Lord. He is my mighty King, my Master of everything. His name is wonderful. He's Jesus, my Lord. He's the Great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. I want to know Him, brothers and sisters. I want to know Him in all that He is, because whenever I know Him, I begin to know me. That's a marvelous thought. You're never too old to begin to know who you are and what's getting ready to happen for you now. So let's sing it through one more time. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is my mighty King, my Master of everything. His name is wonderful. He's Jesus, my Lord. He's that great shepherd, that rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. He's Jesus, my Lord. Y'all may be seated. Thank y'all for coming in and praising God.
Yes. I got a little bit distracted back there for a moment.
Oh, no.
Oh, isn't that?
I've never been distracted.
I'm telling
more
you.
Than 10 times
sometimes
an hour.
It doesn't take much anymore. We are so blessed to be able to gather together tonight. We do not understand, probably, what other people would give to be able to have this privilege together the way we are.
We've got something to share.
I'm telling you. And, you know, then we got those that don't, and I'm not, no criticism, you know. I mean, I've been there lots of times. They got those that just don't make it for some whatever reason. Lord, we thank You that we are
Amen.
A blessed
thank
people.
Thank You, God.
Lord, we thank You that, Lord, we're blessed.
We are blessed,
because
Lord.
Of You and because of Your Son and because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
So we can appreciate the blessings.
Father, we just thank You so much. We thank You for the opportunity to gather as Your people in this place tonight and to worship You. Father, we just thank You so much.
Amen, Lord.
It means so much. All of the things that we get stressed out over and the things of our daily lives, Father God, I thank God for
thank you, God.
The ability to come here and have them
thank
melt
you for being
away.
My God.
And they're not near as looming and dooming as they seem
thank
to be
you, God,
when
for
we're
being with me in the difficult
when we're
times.
Not gathered together with like-minded Christian people.
Yes, Lord.
God-fearing people. Holy Spirit-filled people, Father God. So we thank You for this service tonight, Lord. We thank You for the prayers that went up during prayer
Amen.
Time. Lord, I know that
thank
Your
you
Word
your
it accomplishes those things that it set out. Does not return void. And so, Father, I thank You that we're going to hear the good things
thank you, God.
That's going to come back because
thank you, God.
You are God.
Yes, You are.
Father, thank You for the Word.
Amen.
The Word will set us free. The Word Amen. Will keep us strong. Tonight, Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. I thank You for health, healing, and strength in my family.
for please God.
Each and every one that's gathered here.
And all of our families too.
Amen, amen. Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, we want to do a few things. Just go ahead and take up the offering now, since we're at this point in here, and get a couple of announcements. As we're getting our offering people in place, we want to go ahead and get ready for that. Our announcements are, and I had a thing here earlier. Let's see if I can still find it. There it is. And how did the ladies' meeting go today, those of you that went? Was it a good thing? Was it a good thing? Thank you, God. All right, so we want to thank God for that. Tomorrow night, women, there's a ladies' Bible study starting tomorrow night. Have you all signed up? I'll guarantee you that there's a possibility of you still being able to get in. That doesn't mean that you'll have the Bible study literature when you come. But it does mean it's a possibility of you getting in. It will be, doesn't say where it will be. Call the office tomorrow if you don't know. It's going to be down in the elementary building. The elementary building doesn't say what time it is. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. All right, you all know that now. And there are other things in the bulletin that you need to be aware of. Let's all stand so we can have prayer. And then we can take up the offering. Y'all will be seated as soon as we finish praying this evening. Father, we come before your throne and we ask your blessings to be upon every heart, upon every mind, upon every life, that we would be able to come before you this evening and your Spirit would fall into every one of us and weave us together and bring forth what the church can be a part of. And thank you for the offerings that we offer up, because we know that you say if we will bring them, not because we're enriching you, because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but it's because faith in offerings allows you to open the windows of heaven, and we want to thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated as we offer up the next song. The next song is, y'all have to stand up for that song. I'm sorry. I should know everything far enough in advance. It's Rise and Be Healed, and you can't sing this one sitting down.
As fear and doubt come against your mind, has your faith been sorely tried? Lift up your eyes, he cometh your help. It is Jesus for you, he has died. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will make you every whit whole.
I'm so very thankful when we come together. We can't sing a song like this without God saying, angels, come here. Listen to what they're singing about what I want to do. Second verse that's offered up.
If by faith you will reach out to him, he will meet your every need.
Hallelujah!
He will respond to the cry of your heart. He will touch you and set you free. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will make you every whit whole.
Y'all can't sit down yet either, because we're getting ready to sing I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. If you must sit, that's all right. But I think it's a good thing to be able to stand up on this song.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on my Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on my solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on my solid rock. Even though he's gone now,
I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of my Lord. Now with His Word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on my solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on my solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is His foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Amen. Y'all may be seated now, because the last couple of songs you can sing sitting down unless the Spirit says, get up. And we want to be led by the Spirit, don't we? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Amen? And we want to be led since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into, verse 3. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. Do you know that you're going there? And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Well, I have two more songs to do. Did I start off with the wrong one? We didn't do I Will Serve Thee? I had something backwards. We're going to do Sweet, Sweet Spirit now. Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Actually, we'll save I Will Serve Thee till the invitation. So y'all will know that. Sweet, Sweet Spirit is going to be the last song we're going to do. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of my Lord. Is it in this place? There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know they feel the presence of my Lord. Sing it now. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for your blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Now then, we always turn these next two verses around because we want to do it instead of singing to one another. Like I could point out several of y'all here tonight and say, there are blessings that you cannot receive. But I like looking in the mirror and saying something to me, because am I receiving blessings? Because if I am not allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through my being like rivers of living water, I can guarantee you it doesn't look like I'm blessed. And I want to know I am being blessed. So let's sing this to ourselves, that I cannot receive. Well, after this second verse, we'll do the third verse, Merle. Thank you very much. There are blessings I cannot receive. I'm going to have to know Him. Till I know Him in His fullness and believe. I'm the one to profit when I say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. Verse 3. If I say, you saved me from my sin, but now I'm weak, I'm bound and cannot enter in. I can make it right if I will yield. I'll enjoy the Holy Spirit that we feel. Chorus now. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Love, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for your blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Thank you, Merle. Thank you all for being here and praising God tonight and asking His Spirit to come and fall upon us. Last couple of Wednesday nights, we've been talking about knowing God. There's a problem when we don't know Him. We might end up like the Apostle Paul, or we might end up like Samson, and we're going to be looking at both of those tonight. Because though they knew something about God, they did not know God. And I love these songs right here that we've just sung, because it talks about knowing Him, knowing who He is. And you say, well, how do I go about doing that? It goes about by hiding His Word in your heart so that it can accomplish that awareness of Him that it can give to you. I cannot give you the awareness of God. I mean, I can get up here, shout and scream, jump up and down, and whisper into the microphone. But it's not going to make you more aware of God. His Spirit can do that. And we carry with us the opportunity for rivers of living water to flow out of us. Before we start with the Scriptures, however, I would like for us to to have put up on the screen Romans the 8th chapter starting with verse 31. Romans the 8th chapter starting with verse 31. And then after that, we're going to start in verse 31, and I'm going to read down to through 36, and y'all are going to follow along with me, and then you're going to stand and you're going to read me 37, 38, and 39. So listen to the reading and follow along with me starting with Romans 8th chapter, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us. Let me say that again. If God is for us. Some of y'all need it a third time, because you said, I don't know if I really need it. Not. No, we all need it desperately. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son. How do we know that He's for us? Because He did not spare His own Son. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, just like Abraham delivered Isaac up. For God knew what Jesus could do with a life that did not know God, that did not know God's plan. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, for us all. How shall He, God Almighty, not with Him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? I want you to know something. God wants to give us freely all things, but that doesn't mean that we get to live the sweet life by and by with a silk pillow and everything being real nice and sweet down here. We never have problems. We never have heartaches. There's going to be heartaches. If we know Him, we're going to grab a hold of Him in spite of the heartaches. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died in our place, yea, rather, that is risen again so that we can have resurrection life, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And that's according to the will of God. So that God's good and perfect will and His sweet and perfect plans can come into play for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who? Is something separating you from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, is what is separating you from the love of God? As it is written, for thy sake, O Lord, you've got plans. For thy sake, we've got to walk through some things. The three Hebrew children had to walk through some things. The Ruth had to walk through some things. Rahab had to walk through some things. Sarah had to walk through some things because her husband was so blessed. And he kept telling everybody, look, all of this is because God loves us so much. And yet they would turn and they would say, well, if God loves you that much, how come Sarah doesn't have a baby? Do you understand? For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We need to know that in spite of the hardships we're going to face, because we're going to face hardships. Part of it's because we do not understand. Part of it's because we don't know Him. Part of it's because His plan that we should be growing into more than we are. And we do not grow if everything is nice and easy. Have you all ever heard, I'm going to stop here and bring something into play. Have you ever heard whenever they built those places out in Arizona where inside of them they build great big glass devices, biodomes or something like that, and inside they started growing things because they said, this is what we're going to have to find out what it would be like if we go to the moon and we are inside of these enclosed places. Or we go to Mars and we're inside of these closed spaces. So they started growing and they had water and they had food, but they could not exchange air with the outside. It had to all be self-encapsulated. They had to be there for a year or two or three or four. How many of y'all remember anything about that? Do you know what happened while those things were growing in there? The trees that they planted never had a wind. And they grew without strength in them. And after they got up to be a certain size, they began to break down and fall over. Because there had been no strength in the roots having to hold on to them. There was no strength in their branches. Now, there wasn't any wind in there, but if they became too heavy, they easily broke. Do you understand that there are some things that we must go through? And so, as for your sake, we are killed as all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Everybody has to stand up and read the last three verses with me. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Oh, more than conquerors? Well, I thought that if I had my silk pillow and everything was finally going okay, I would know I was more than a conqueror. No, you know you're more than a conqueror in the midst of the fire. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Next verse, please read it with me. For I am persuaded. Do you like this? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor... Did I leave some of it out? I apologize. Let's go on to the next verse, please. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. How about you? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Y'all may be seated. Okay, even before we get into everything, there's a song that I asked Sheila if we have the words to. It's called, and it's generally called, I Want to Love You, Lord, but I want to change the words and sing, I Want to Know You, Lord, much more than I do. How many of y'all know this song so that you can sing along with me? Because I'm going to guarantee you, Samson knew about God, but he didn't know God. That's a sad thing. Paul the Apostle didn't, he knew about God, and he knew a lot, but he didn't know God. And we want to be aware of this. The song goes like this, I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the glory of your grace. I want to know you, Lord. One more time. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. I want to know you, Lord, much more than I do. Learn to seek your face and the knowledge of your grace. I want to know you. It's a sad thing whenever you've heard about him and you've got your Bible just filled up with notes and you've memorized everything, but all it is that you know about him, you don't know him. You've not become intimate with him. Remember the scriptures say, and I don't want you to put this up there, Sheila, I appreciate you putting that up there. The scriptures say that that Jesus said, in that day there will be many who will come to me and they'll say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in your name. It's all written down. Somebody somewhere remembers all of this. And Jesus said, and I will look at them and say, we never really knew one another. You did things for me, but you didn't know me. And he said, he's going to have to say to them, that's what you've done is as iniquity. Depart from me, for I never knew you. I want to know him so that I can end up at least with my life being what was prophesied about me, like it was about Samson, or end up knowing from the get-go that tough times are coming so that I can get out and I can row that boat, and I can, if I have to do it, I can do the difficult things that there are to do. And so as we're getting ready to look into that, Sheila, I think that you probably got the words up there to this song. It's the one that says, People of God. And there's two verses to that. And I'm telling you, I'm really into praising God tonight because I think it takes us into amazing places. And there's a song that says, With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts hold to one something alone. So if she can get those and put them up there. People of God is the name of the song. And we'll be able to do that. The second verse says, Hear us, O spirits of darkness. Because we need to let spirits of darkness that have said to us, and they've come and talked to us, if God really loved you, you wouldn't have to put up with the things that you're putting up with. Or they've told us, well, this is the reason why, because God is really having to be cruel to you because you're so sinful. Well, what I want to know is, did Jesus take care of sin or didn't he? If he did, then why are people constantly, and why am I also agreeing with those voices that say, well, it's all my fault. I want to know him so I can know the glory of his grace and the power of seeing his face. And so, how many verses do you have? Do you have the one that says, with our lips let us, there we go. And those of you that know it can sing with me. And if you don't know it, you can say, I think maybe I like this song. With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. I like this one. I like to put, because we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers of spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. Hear it, so spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus. And of course, one more time. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ Jesus the Son. First of all, we're going to look in on old Samson tonight. We're going to find out about how he knew about God, but he didn't know God. And it's a marvelous thing to have taught everybody everything that they can know about Him, but it's more of a, it's a better thing by prayer and by weeping to bring them into the knowledge of who He really is. So we're going to start in Judges the 13th chapter. In Judges the 13th chapter, and we're going to read, and I'll read, Sheila will catch up with us here in a few seconds. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And I want to say thank you, God, that whenever your people fail, you have a plan. When your people are doing evil, you know how to restore them. When your people are needing to be transformed, because we can fail, we can do evil, and we're needing to be transformed, you know how to transform us. When your people are needing to become more than they've been, and they've been satisfied to say, well, this was enough, you know how to quicken them through the heartache and the pain that it takes to bring them into that place. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. I'm telling you what, that's a long time. That's kind of about how long that Moses was on the backside of the desert. That's kind of about how long he was out in the desert with the people having to put up with all their murmuring and complaining. Verse 2 says, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And I want to thank God that we want to, that God understands our weaknesses. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren. Oh, really? Where all have you been around where I live here? The people have told you that I am. But you are barren and you bear not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, did she know that God could cause, did she know about God that He could cause her to conceive? But now she's getting ready to know God. And I want everything that happens to me every day be a part of what God has planned for me to know God. And it says, therefore, I pray you, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Well, basically what he's saying to you, the child is going to have to follow this for the rest of its life. You're going to bear a child. You're going to bear a son. That son's going to have to follow for the rest of its life the things that I'm telling you now. It's not going to drink any wine or strong drink, and it's not going to eat any unclean thing. So that's the first. That's the first thing that's going to have to be done for the rest of his life. Now, do you like for God to say there are some boundaries for your life? Well, God, it's not fair because Phil has a sister, doesn't she? Does she have boundaries? Does she have the same boundaries he does? It's not fair that I should have to have boundaries on my life. Well, this is the way it's going to be for him for the rest of his life. And you shall conceive and bear a son, saying the second time to her, and no razor shall come upon his head, for he shall be a Nazarite. He shall never be able to cut his hair off. And to God from the womb, for so however long his hair is then, as long as it grows, that's the way it's going to be due. And the prophecy, he knows this prophecy, he knows about what God has said, but he doesn't understand what God has said. And he said, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so the woman came to her husband and she said, a man of God has come to me. He looked like an angel. And I didn't ask him who he was or where he was from. And he told me that I was going to conceive and I was not to drink wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. And the child was going to have to be a Nazarite, not ever having his hair cut from that day until the day of his death. And Manoah, the husband, then cried out to the Lord. He said, Lord, send that angel or that man of God again, so that he can tell us how the child shall be raised. Well, the man of God had already told him. No wine or strong drink, nothing unclean, do not cut the hair, because these are the four things. No wine or strong drink, nothing unclean to eat, do not cut the hair. He shall began to deliver the Israelites. That's a marvelous thing. That's what he heard for the rest of his life. He knew about God, but he didn't know God. Now then, as he's growing up, this thing of being having a restrained life or a restricted life or having boundaries got to him. Because he said, it's not really fair. Everybody else gets to wear their hair the way they want to. Everybody else can eat anything they want to, though they probably shouldn't be eating anything unclean. But people around here, even the Jews, do it all the time. I can't do it at all. And I've been told that my life is going to make a difference. Well, he could look around and he could say, well, why do I have to live like this? Why couldn't somebody else be the life that makes a difference? Well, when you know God, you don't care whether somebody else is supposed to make the difference or not. You just know that you have to do what God wants. Well, anyway, he decides he wants a foreign wife. If he can't eat anything unclean and he couldn't drink any strong drink and he couldn't have his hair cut, well, he could have himself a strange woman. Well, that was against God's law, but he's rebellious. Because he only knows about God. He does not know God. So the thing happens where there's a marriage that's tried to have. It fails to be a marriage and everything. And so then after that, he tries to have to do with her. And that all falls apart. And so then there are things that happen in his life where, since he doesn't know God, nothing is working out well. Eventually he finds a woman who is just really impresses him a lot. It's amazing how easily we're impressed by something that we should not have. And her name was Delilah. And she gets him to tell him about the fact that his hair should never be cut. And he loses all of his hair and he becomes as weak as a little kitten whenever this happens. And so remember, he was to never have his hair cut. He was never to eat anything unclean. Oh, by the way, he causes his parents to eat something unclean. Whenever the honey from the lion. Y'all remember? So he's defiling his parents. If you defile your parents, you're pretty much as good as defiling yourself. And so he defiles his parents. And so then we're going to the very last portion of the scriptures here. And we're going to find out. And verse 19 of chapter 16 about Delilah, because I have to get into these scriptures so you can understand there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And verse 19, and she, Delilah, made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength was gone from him, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson! And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself, for he knew not that his strength was gone from him. Now, he knew about God, but he did not know God. If he had known God, he would have known. And if you know God, you know one thing for sure. He has said, he has made a promise. I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Always. But he only knew about God. He didn't know God. We need to remember that. He did not know God. And so they bound him. And so they took him. And, I've lost my place here. What scripture is that? This is going to be verse 21. And so, the lords of the Philistines took him and they afflicted him and they made him to grind grain, like an animal for some period of time until his hair begins to grow back out. Now we want to get to the place where Samson cries out to know God. Because he remembers something. As long as his hair was long, he didn't eat anything unclean. And he didn't have any wine or strong drink, that there were blessings upon him. Though he didn't know God, he still knew that he was a blessed man. Now he's crying out to God and he's saying, I want to know you. This is an amazing piece of scripture. In verse 28, when the house was full, where all the Philistines were gathered, and he called unto the Lord God, and he said, O Lord God, remember me. Now that's very important that you know this word for remember here. God's never forgotten, but He's forgotten. He forgot who He belonged to. He forgot what was planned for His life. He forgot that He was supposed to begin to deliver the Israelites. And He's saying, help me to know who You are. Remember me. Because if You'll move upon me, I'll remember who You are. I'll know who You are. Let's read it again. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray Thee. Strengthen me, I pray Thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And he said, now then, I don't have eyes to be able to see You. I haven't really heard You in a long time. And that nothing is in my heart to where I could possibly believe that You want to do anything good for me, because all I have been during this time is living in darkness. And he's saying, I don't only want to be avenged of the fact that I can't see and I haven't heard in my heart. I believe that You, in spite of I can't see, I haven't heard in my heart, has not been able to imagine, that You want to reveal something unto me. We know that He does, because in Corinthians it says that, does it not? And so it says here that that he may be avenged of his eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and which was borne up, and with one on his right hand and the other in his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Well, I want you to know something. God's plan is not for us to die. Y'all know this scripture? I shall not die, but I shall live, and I shall declare God's great works. And I can only declare God's great works if I know Him. Because it's going to be impossible to do that whenever all the fears and doubts of this life come upon you. And so they said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people and all that were therein. And so that all the dead that he slew with his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him up and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel for 20 years. So he was leading Israel for 20 years, not knowing God until the very end. Don't you think it would have been better if he had judged Israel knowing God all the way through? Somebody say amen. Yeah. And don't you want to know that in spite of the fact that maybe you have not known God well enough to be able to live more than a conqueror in the some parts of your life, that by knowing Him that you can be determined, I will not live being less than a conqueror for the rest of my life. Because there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Okay, that's one thing. Next thing we want to do is we want to go to the book of Acts, and we want to look at what happened with in the ninth chapter, Sheila, the books of Acts, and we want to see what happened to old Saul, who knew all about God, but he did not know God, and how he became a firebrand in spite of every impossibility that he faced. Because you know that he faced a lot of impossibilities, don't you? Good. So starting in Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to go to Damascus, to the great synagogues that were found in that city, and to see if he could find any of this way. Well, he was looking for people that were of the way, but he didn't think he was looking for people that were of God. Are you following along with me here? He was looking for people that were following after Jesus, but he didn't think he was looking for people that knew God. And so, and as he journeyed, and that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And here's the thing. You know, God knocked Saul down and he stood up and he became Paul. And we want to thank God for the fact that God knocks some people down. Others, He lets them go into the fiery furnace. Others, He lets them go into the lion's den. Others, He helps them to walk away all that their family might have been. I'm not talking about Naomi, because she had no family left except for her daughter-in-law. But that daughter-in-law, because she wanted to know God, walked away from everything. She didn't later on in life saying, well, if only I stayed at home, I've missed out on being around all of the family that I have back there, and it just doesn't seem fair that I had to give up everything. And it was tough. You don't know how tough it was. I had to be a beggar down on my hands and my knees. She was willing to claim that she was more than a conqueror in every one of her circumstances. So let's follow along here and find out what's going on with him. And we're in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven, because he had been, and he fell to the earth. He got knocked down. Now you might say, well, I just wish God had knocked me down. God has a plan and a pathway of righteousness for you. Yours is not to say, I just want to live in the same place where if he could just knock me down and bruise me all over. God's going to follow His plan for your life. And it says, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Did he know Jesus? No. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against my goad. I've been using my rod and my staff on you. Haven't you felt it? Haven't you felt your heart twisted in certain situations? Didn't you feel it whenever you saw the deacon that was killed right outside the city walls there, and he was collecting all the coats and hanging onto them and saying, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. But his heart was being touched because it was being touched by the rod and the staff. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? This is the first step in being able to know God. Do you think God is pleased with what's happening right now? The way your life is turning? I mean, do you think He's, if you're fighting against Him, if you're telling Him it's not fair, or nothing about me is right the way I want it to be, and I don't understand why things haven't turned around? But He said to him, what would you have me do? Now, I want you to know something. He only gets a little bit because God tells him, Jesus tells him, get up from here. You're going to go back to, you're going to go all the way to Damascus. He gets to know a little bit, but there's going to come a man that's going to tell him things that he probably doesn't want to hear. But he's beginning to know God. And I believe that as he studied there in Damascus for whatever period of time he was there, he was beginning to be willing to go through anything that this glorious God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could begin to raise him up, even as he raised Samson up, even as he raised David up, even as he raised all of the Old Testament saints up. So we want to hear what this is. And the Lord, Jesus, said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Well, what if I don't want to do that, Lord? That just seems unfair to have to... I know I should... Okay, I'm going to go. And so he went, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, having heard a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he could not see anything. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. You know, for some people, a lot can be accomplished in 3 days. For others, a lot can be accomplished in 3 weeks. For others, a lot can be accomplished in 3 months. And for others, a lot can be accomplished in 3 years. It just depends upon how I'm willing to let God have my heart, no strings attached. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, Lord, here I am. Does he know God? Yeah, he knows. Because he was responding to the voice. He's not saying, who are you? He says, behold, here I am, Lord, Kyrios, the one who's in charge of everything. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straits. You know, the main street that runs up and down the middle of Damascus. And inquire at the house of one Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And he is there and he's praying. What is he praying? He wants to know God. He's accomplishing in three days what I haven't accomplished in 30 years. Why? Because he's laboring to offer himself up totally. What would you have me do, Lord? He's laboring to offer himself up totally, and he's going to labor for the rest of his life to offer himself up totally so that he can present in his fullness the Lord of all. And so we see that that's happening here. And we're in verse 12. And he said, he is praying. Verse 12, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now then, up till now, he's not even been able to see Jesus. He's only been able to hear him, but he's been calling him Lord. I'm going to believe that after this that he begins to see things that he's never seen before, because he's beginning to know God. And we are not going to be able to see or understand or be able to prosper in certain situations until we have given everything to God. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I know you're in control of everything, but I've heard many things of this man and how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon your name. And I'm going to go in there calling upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way. Now, he may be speaking to you right now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the Word really speaks to you all that much, because I have a hard time letting the Word speak to me. But it'd be a good thing when we gather together for the Word to be speaking to each one of us, don't you think? And the Lord said, go, this is your way. Well, Lord, I think I'd just really rather wait for somebody easier to go and talk to. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is the last verse I'm going to do. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In all the writings that Paul does, do you ever hear him saying, I don't know why I had to do that. They did me stripes many times. They stoned me many times. You know, it just doesn't seem fair. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, he didn't just say it to those 12 that were there. 16, there probably was only one there. I mean, only 11 there. He didn't just say it to them. He was saying it to everybody who reads them. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Ananias was getting ready to find out what it was like to be able to walk with God in tribulation and the blessings that would come upon him and those that belonged to him and the people that he was going to be with. Paul had no idea of the tribulation he was going to be facing, because God said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Those of you that are really good at being able to search things out in the Bible, find in there somewhere, if you can, where Paul complained about what he had to do. Remember, he got to that place in a space of about 3 days. And for some, that's not a bad thing. For some, 3 weeks is not bad. For others, 3 months is not bad. For some, 3 years is not bad. But if you've been 30 years, 3 decades, getting into the place where you can say, Lord, whatever you need for me to do, I can walk in it, so that your grace and your glory and your love and your salvation and your healing can fall upon all those that I need to speak
Jesus over them.
And so whenever he told that to Ananias, Ananias went and said, "You're a chosen man, a chosen vessel." Can you hear God saying that about you? "To bear my name, Jesus, before many peoples, and even before possible leaders, and before the children of Israel, my children," God said, "for I will show you in the midst of tribulation what I'm able to do with those who truly know me." And we're going to do that song, "I Will Serve Thee." So if you'll go ahead and step up there. And we're going to bring the message to a close. I'd come down there in front, but I need for Merle to be able to see me. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing the song, "I Will Serve Thee." Because you're going to find out that that's what Ananias said. That's what, in spite of all of his rebellion, Samson basically said there at that last day. He knew that he was supposed to be in the beginning of delivering God's people. We never see that happening. Not that he actually ever sought after it. But he eventually came to the place where he said, "Lord, help me to know who I am and who you are. Remember me." And God allowed him to remember him. And we see Paul getting knocked down. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus. Aren't you tired of me using my bow, my goad and my staff on you? Aren't you tired of that? Don't you know that that's why your heart's been doing the things that you've been doing since even when you thought, I don't want to have anything to do with this?" And Paul came through the other side. And we want to sing this beautiful song. "I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me." Only one way He can give you life is for you to know Him. There's a beautiful song that's called His Name is Life. I like that song. But I can sing it all day long. And all the other names that He has too. And I can even get a little, "Ooh, I like that song." But it doesn't do anything for me until I know Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for letting us look in the Scriptures and long to know God. For we are more than conquerors in all of these things. And I'm going to have to be more than a conqueror if I'm going to be able to present Jesus. That doesn't mean I have to look pretty. Doesn't mean I have to sound good. Doesn't mean I have to be able to get all my P's and Q's out straight. It just means I have to know who You are. Because when I know You, I will be more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.